Mum! Marks! Can you just stop doing the dishwasher? I'm doing a podcast record.
Good morning, Patois.
I did something yesterday.
Well, we all know what you did.
Well, only if you follow me on the gram.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
I had my nose pierced yesterday.
I think you are having a little sort of midlife crisis.
No, I've wanted this done for for so long. I'm like, I really want to get my nose pierced.
What?
I really want to have just a really flat diamond.
What does it feel like on the inside?
Oh, fine.
What about...
I don't even know it's
what
there.
About when you pick your nose?
I haven't.
Yeah, but you will.
I know, but I'll let you know when I do it. But I can't tell you that yet because I haven't done it. But it hasn't got a back on it. It's just like a line with a little kink.
Oh.
No, it's a line with a little kink up.
A line with a little kink up.
Yeah, and I got my second hole done as well.
Yeah, I mean, you are, before we know it, you're going to have a tattoo all across your back.
Well, I have thought about getting a bulldog on my back.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Or just having on my back, there's different levels of haggy.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, yeah.
Just having that across
my
back.
Or you could just have, along the bottom of your back, I've got a small crack.
I've got a small
because
crack.
As we
like
have,
I've got a small penis.
Like we have previously discussed. I think we've discussed it on here. Have we discussed it on
yeah,
here?
Yeah, you have discussed
your,
my bum
your
crack.
Very small crack.
Ange, are you questioning whether you have discussed my bum crack on here? I don't think there's any doubt in any of our minds that you have talked about how funny you find my bum and how tiny my bum crack is. Mm,
it is. I mean, the thing is, as you know, Pat, as the world knows, aka our listeners, I have a problem with my memory. So I sometimes think...
No. You don't... No. You're telling me there's been times on here you've come with a tit and both Martin and I have
We've done that.
You've done
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So there are some times when I think... Oh, we've had a conversation about your small crack, but then
right.
I think, oh, did we have that on here or was that just our own personal conversation?
We have. Martin is confirming to me
we have
had a chat about the crack.
Yeah. So actually that would be quite a good tattoo for you, just across.
Well, we're supposed to be getting a matching tattoo,
well,
Angie.
Matchy.
I've sent you loads of suggestions
and we've
never booked it
in. Well, then let's just book it in. I know a tattoo place.
Right, book it in.
Mm, fine, okay. Yeah, but we haven't actually decided what we're having.
No, we need to do
there
that.
There you go, see.
When I put the box up yesterday about what I'd done, so if you don't follow me on Instagram, I put a box up saying, I did something today, can you guess what it is? And I asked people to guess. Lots of people said tattoo or piercing.
Yeah,
Some people said cut my hair short. Lots of people said, did you finally do the open water swim?
Which is fair enough, actually.
Fair enough. There were lots of people that asked.
Yeah.
Talking on that, we had a really good message in this week on our Instagram, on the Finding the Funny Instagram page. If you don't follow us, Finding the Funny have an Instagram page. In fact, we're across all social medias.
We
aren't
are.
We,
we
Do you
are.
Want to tell the listeners where they can find
Absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely. Yes. Hello, people. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and the YouTube. You just have to search.
Just search.
Finding the Funny podcast.
So we had a message in from somebody on the Finding the Funny Instagram. So if you message us on Instagram, Angie and I will always reply.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll reshare it. We try and be as engaged as possible on there. And this is what this person said.
Right.
I've just had to pause this week's episode because I had to send you this. My utter relief to hear you feedback people's breakfast results. Can't actually believe I've just said that sentence, but the amount of times you do a shout out or a poll, then never mention it again on the pod, this is in caps lock, gets on my shitting tits. You can't leave us wondering about these things, so please can you keep following up and sharing results on the pod? Thank you. Now, I did share it and say, to be fair, we've been shit at that, but I feel like 2024 on Instagram has started
better. I think we've started strong, Pat. We've just got to keep it going. That's the thing. Sometimes
got to keep it going. And I think what we've learned is I've got to keep it going.
Well, I mean, the thing is, yeah. Right? I think you know, yeah. I bring a lot of the content. I mean, come on, Paz, you've got to be, you know, I've brought a lot of the ideas are from me. I've recently brought your posh ups, which have gone down a storm. Wow. The recent super bass has had 100,000 views.
Not quite 100,000 views yet, actually, okay. Andrea. And if you checked our Instagram regularly, you'd know we're not at 100,000, but you don't ever check it. That's fine. You can go and do your content on your own in a broom cupboard. Fine. Go and sit on your own. Get your content. I'm going to leave you then to get your content out there to the world.
Okay, fine.
Good luck with that.
Look, you prick. Look, I think, you know, I'm the first to say I'm not so good at that stuff. And you are. I'll bow to your greater power in that department. But I think you then have to bow to my greater power as far as the actual content goes.
Oh, my God. This is... absolutely disgusting.
Do you see, Gag? You see, I can be very gracious and say, I understand.
Oh my God, fuck you, right? We're going on something else. This is ridiculous.
See, this is what happens.
I can be very gracious.
This is what happens, you see. I start bringing some things. Patty gets annoyed and says, right, that's it. We're moving on. We're not talking about this anymore.
Right, so I put up a couple of not going to lie boxes and I put a couple of just regular boxes up
okay.
on Instagram.
Okay, yeah, indeed.
So these, I'm just going to hit you with some of the questions, Angie.
Okay, fine.
One of the ones that really caught my eye on the not going to lie box, which is the anonymous one, yeah. is, did you ever have an imaginary friend?
Now, I didn't, but you did.
Oh my God. I had about 10.
What was one of them called?
Alice.
Who the fuck is Alice?
Do you remember we used to have to set a table place for her sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of weird shit, isn't it?
Weird.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, so when Matthew and I met, right? I mean, you know, you're finding out, like, what was your, like, how was it growing up?
Yeah.
What were you like as a teenager? Yeah. All that kind of conversation. This is sort of how the conversation went between Matthew and I. So, you know, what were you like as a teenager? Well, I was, like, you know, out with my mates, drinking, smoking,
yeah.
probably from about the age of, like, 13, 14.
This is Marty.
I got pissed. I got pissed in France at 12.
Yeah.
Like, you know, booze.
Yeah.
What about yours? I played with dolls till I was about 15 and a half, maybe 16. And now, if I'm like, oh, what year was that? Matthew will often go, were you still playing with dolls?
The doll playing is the marker.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you still playing when you were probably about 15, Ruth? How much did I love playing
with
dolls?
Oh, my gosh. You would play with dolls. You'd play schools.
I'd play Salvation Army.
Yeah, you'd have your Salvation Army. I mean, that's the era when we thought you were going to go full into the salvos and become a, you know.
Yeah,
like
everybody thought I was going to be called into the,
yeah.
into the,
you were
going to
be called.
You know, fray.
You'd be called.
I was going to be called.
Yeah.
And I used to play Salvation Armies. And so for people who don't know about the Salvation Army, there's like lots of different choirs. So there's a singing company and they call them the songsters, and there's bands and stuff. And I was basically every single part. I was the leader of the church.
Yeah, yeah, she would do
I
everything.
I was the songster leader. I was the singing
She'd
company
give you
leader.
The sermon on the day.
And then I'd also have like two or three babies.
Yeah. Well, you'd actually have your own babies.
Oh, yeah, they'd be like my kids.
Yeah, your kids, yeah.
I'd be like, oh, sorry, no, I can't, no. Obviously talking to myself, because I'd be the only one playing. Oh, no, sorry, I can't do that, because, no, little Holly, she's got a dentist appointment
yeah.
that day, I can't do that. Oh, right, okay.
I mean, basically, Pats, that was your parenting era.
It was between the ages of probably 10 to 17, yeah. And to be honest, none of my kids have like gone off the rails.
No, that's true, actually.
None of them have had any issues. I've actually done really well.
You've been
well.
A great parent, to be honest. You know.
Because they're all just living their life in the loft.
Yeah, stuffed.
In mum and dad's house.
Yeah, yeah, stuffed.
Mum asked me about 5-6 years ago if she could get rid of my dollies, and I said yes, and then I changed my mind and said no.
So what, they're still in the loft?
Yeah, they're still at mum and dad's.
I'd have just chucked them out. I wouldn't have even asked you.
Do you remember I had that? Do you remember I had that doll that I absolutely loved that had the hair that like stuck up?
Yes.
And it came with a bottle.
Yes.
And you press the bottle and it would sound... like burp. She was called Abigail and she was my favourite doll.
Abigail's. I remember Abigail's. Yeah.
Well, that was Joel that played that.
Yeah.
That wasn't me, but my baby was called Abigail, it's like, that doll.
It's like there's a subconscious part of Joel that knew about Abigail.
I know. Yeah. Got handed down. Yeah. Anyway, yes, I did have an imaginary
friend.
So
Patty did. I didn't. I've never really had that sort of imaginary thing. I think it's because I actually don't really have much going on in my head a lot.
Well, I don't know that you've got a particularly vivid imagination.
I don't.
Like, you're creative, but I've got quite a vivid imagination.
You have, and I don't. It's like, it's like I don't really dream and stuff. Again, we have discussed this on the pod. But I wish I did dream, and I wish I did have an imaginary friend. In fact, I'd love an imaginary friend right now, like in this part of life.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, I think it'd suit you more now.
Yeah. I could go out and get sort of, drunk with her and stuff.
Yeah. And you could go into a restaurant and be like, table for two, please. No, there is two of us. I've got Sally with me. Yeah, come on. Come on, Sally. What are you drinking? I'll have two bottles of red wine. Sally wants one and I want one. Thanks.
Yeah, I actually think that could be a thing.
Two garlic breads, two pizzas, and two chocolate brownies.
And I'd sit there and I'd polish the lot off.
Sally's not very hungry, she's decided, so I'm just going to eat the lot. But I know. Well, Sally sometimes does this. I think she's on her period.
She's very hormonal at the moment.
She gets a bit nauseous at this time.
Quite bloated, Sally. Sally gets quite bloated.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there we go, gang. No imaginary friends for me.
Right, this is a really deep dilemma now. We're going to change tack.
Oh, shit. Okay, right. I need to get into that headspace. Okay.
How do you suggest I fall out of love with someone I should never have fallen in love with?
Oh, good Lord. Oh, this is... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. This is mega...
Obviously, we don't know who that's from. We don't know whether they're male or female. No. We don't know any other background. It just says in the box, how do you suggest I fall out of love with someone I never should have fallen in love with?
Well, I don't think that's something that just happens like with a switch of a button. It's just going to be...
And I don't know that you ever do. If you really, truly fall in love with someone, I think they stay with you.
Yeah, no, but I think you can...
move on.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's maybe not about falling out of love with them. I suppose it's just about, you know, if you're in love with somebody you shouldn't have been in love with or shouldn't be in love with for whatever reason, and obviously we don't know what the reasons are here.
Yeah,
I would say the only way you can really start to change how you feel is to really put some distance there. Like, I think that would be the key thing, is to just kind of really distance yourself, you know, remove yourself from their life or pull yourself back. So you're kind of just more on the edge of whatever this relationship is. And it unfortunately, it's just time. Like, I think in time that would change.
I sometimes think even if you pull back from, like, I've definitely got people that in my past, I probably was in love with them, actually. And even if you, this is what I mean, that I don't know that you ever fully forget those people that you felt very connected to, whether you ever had a relationship with them or not, because you can be in love with somebody unrequited.
Yeah, totally.
And if I think back to people that I did have stuff go on with, that stuff did happen with, and that I felt really deeply connected to, I still think about
these people. 100%.
So I don't think you ever really, and I know that there are other people in my life who have had very significant relationships and probably still would have very deep feelings for a particular person or particular people.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know that you ever fully fall out of love with them.
Well, I think it is not. I think it is just time,
isn't it? And
I think it just, it changes. I think you know, when you're kind of right in the kind of throes of whatever this relationship is with someone.
Yeah.
You know, if I think way back, like in my you know, very late teens.
In your teen girl era.
In my teen girl era, I still think about occasionally, like, the first person I, properly had some sort of feeling for, and
definitely,
you know, I'll be completely honest with you guys, I lost my virginity to.
Amazing.
Putting it out there.
I wonder who that is. I'm intrigued.
Oh, do you not know?
No.
Oh, okay, great. Let's leave that a mystery.
No, tell me. off the line, I'm going to name a couple of people because there's a few that I think it could be.
Because I was playing around a lot.
She was a right player. She was a hoe bag. She was in her hoe girl era.
I was not a hoe. Let's just correct that.
She was a hoe bag, guys. That's fine. We can be hoes. Women
but
can
I
have
wasn't
sex.
A hoe. And
let's not turn ourselves down because of the patriarchy.
Sister. But, you know, I still, there are times and I'll sort of think about that person.
Yeah.
And that.
Remember what his penis was like.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I actually can't remember what his penis was like at all.
Of course you can't. You can't remember what we talked about on this podcast 2 days ago.
Exactly.
You can remember what your first penis was like.
Your first penis. But what I think I'm trying to get at here is there are always going to be those people in your life, whether that's like from your like teen era,
yeah.
Or you know, even when you've been like with someone for, you know, like me, too long, and you know there are people that you meet in your life that you think, do you know what, if I wasn't married, if I wasn't in a relationship,
yeah.
This could
definitely.
Be something, you know, there's definitely. Something here. And I think it's very easy to kind of fall for somebody or kind of really have strong feelings for them. And I think whatever this is for this person right now, and there's obviously an element of something that's not right because they're saying I've fallen in love with someone that I shouldn't have fallen in love with.
Yeah.
I think the only way you can start to kind of change that emotion or have a bit of control over that emotion is with some distance and just allowing yourself time, and that will change your feelings,
yeah.
Will change
definitely,
and that's all you can do. It's not going to be a quick fix. It's not going to be a kind of switch it on, switch it off. It's not going to be that, and I think you've just got to put some things in place, give yourself a bit of distance, and give yourself a shit ton of time, and it will
change. I genuinely think time is the biggest thing.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I've had people in my life where I've been like, I'm never not going to feel this way for you ever again.
Yeah, and you
and
do.
And if I bumped into them now, I'd be like, oh my God, I don't feel like that for you.
Yeah.
There are some people that have stuck with me.
Yeah.
There are some people that if I bumped into them now,
I'd still
all that
feel
stuff
the same.
Would probably come back, and I'd be like, but there's also a shit ton of people that if I bumped into them now, I'd think, no, I don't have any of those feelings for you. So I do think, and I also, this isn't me saying that somebody should rush into another relationship, because if you are in love with somebody, you do need to kind of
deal with
that,
yeah.
But I do think that does also change when you meet someone else.
Yes.
Because that is almost like the final part of like, I can put these feelings
absolutely.
Somewhere else. I can feel like this again.
Yeah.
I can feel loved again, and I can love again.
Yeah.
And I think it's often only when that final person comes in that you start to be able to leave
those
that
other things
stuff
behind.
And then if you see that person again, you're just instantly thinking, oh no, that isn't there anymore. I remember vividly, before I met Matthew, there was two other guys in my life, both called Matt, that I thought, you know, stuff happened and like...
Matt and is obviously a very prominent name for you, Cassie.
Well, because I actually really felt in me, like genuinely, I really felt this feeling of like, there's a different Matt for you.
Yeah.
And then like about 10 months later, I met Matthew.
Brilliant.
And if I was to bump one of them, if I bumped into one of them now, I think I would probably still think,
hello.
I fancy you. Like, I understand why
I had those feelings
into you.
Yeah.
The other one.
Not so
honestly,
sure.
If I bumped into him, I would just think, I've seen pictures and stuff of him on Facebook, and those feelings are totally gone. So I do think as you move on and as you work through it and as you heal from that stuff, and then as you meet somebody else, just give your, I would just say to this person, just give yourself a bit of a wide berth at the moment. Just be kind to yourself. Definitely. And yes, if you need to take some distance from them, of course, that is totally the right thing to do if that's what you feel you need to do. Yeah. But secondly, this too shall pass. It genuinely will.
It will.
And even if you were to bump into this person in years and years time, if you did completely cut them out, you might still feel something, but it definitely
won't be what it is now.
As intense.
No.
As all the same.
Definitely.
Okay, we're going to change tact again.
Okay, wow, this is a lot changing.
This is a lot of tacting. Mm. Who are your unconventional crushes? We've all got one. You know, the one that raises some eyebrows.
Do you know what? I actually don't think I have any unconventionals.
Right, yeah.
I think a lot of my crushes are quite generic crushes. I don't think there's anyone that I'm like, I can't think of any.
I think if he wasn't my brother, one of mine would possibly be James.
Well, a lot of people do put him in that category,
don't they? Yeah. I think I could be a lot of people's unconventional crushes.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I'm anyone's crush.
Mine is probably a classic, an absolute classic.
Yeah.
Gareth Southgate.
Yeah, that was weird when you came out with that on one of the podcasts.
I really think there's something really attractive about him. And I think that would be the unconventional.
No, I do not get that at all.
Exactly.
No,
exactly,
he looks like a horse.
Yeah, and I know lots of people wouldn't see him as a conventional crush.
I got a real thing for Paul Mescal. But again, he's quite a popular crush.
Who's Paul Mescal?
Oh, my.
Oh, the guy from that,
normal,
that Irish
normal
guy.
People.
Normal people. Yes, I do know who you mean. No, I think a lot of people.
I think a lot of people. But he's not kind of like, it's weird because he's not actually like super hot. He's not like one of these people,
No, but there's a real like mystery about him, isn't
there? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I can get that.
Yeah, I'd definitely be happy to see his penis.
I would like, what I would like now is Emma Vibe Jen.
Yes.
To message in what her unconventional crush is.
Yeah, because there must be one.
She's obviously got one. So Emma,
we do. Emma, let us know what yours is.
Okay, I've got another dilemma.
Oh, wow, okay, bloody hell.
Hello, ladies. I have a dilemma. This one I think is quite lighthearted.
Okay.
What are the protocols for removing non-contributors from group chats? None of us want to be the executors. Any advice is appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, wow, that is harsh.
Yeah. Well, because you'd be the one being removed. In a lot of group chats.
Do you know what, right?
Because you send somebody a birthday message in a group chat like 10 weeks after their birthday.
I'm like, sorry, I missed this. Happy birthday.
Sorry, I missed this back 3 months ago. Happy birthday.
Do you know what though, right? I think that in January, I decided...
To leave. a lot of group chats.
Well, there definitely are some I'd like to leave. No, I decided I was going to really get better at replying to messages.
Do you know what? I actually genuinely think you have.
Thank you. Yes. I have. I've really... And I think it was a bit conscious because I think I did sort of think, right, Ange, do you know what? This is a bit out of order. Like, you can't just kind of, you know, be in something but kind of not be in it and not respond.
Yeah.
And that's a bit rude and... So I think there was an element of me as well that kind of was a bit subconscious about it.
I've noticed that.
Yes. Oh, I love the fact that you've noticed it.
Even just in your text messages to me.
So, new year, new Angie and all that shit.
New Angie. Yeah.
But no, I do. So I kind of find this question tricky because I think I would have been and could potentially still
be. You would be the one that
I'd be the one
out.
That they'd go, right, we're getting rid of Ange because she's an absolute waste of space. She never responds. Yeah. She's never here.
Never replies.
So let's just boot her off. And then she'll come back and try and get back into the chat, and she won't be able to because we've all moved on.
She'll be gone.
But I also think there's something around, and we have kind of touched on this before, there is a lot of chats. There's a lot of WhatsApps. There's a lot of messaging. There's a lot of... And sometimes I do love... I would love to just remove myself from some of them.
I think WhatsApp chats need to be seen as a means to an end and not the be-all and end-all.
Yes.
So if you're in a chat and somebody is really active, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just like when you're out on a night out, mm-hmm. somebody's really extroverted and chatting.
Very involved.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying to the introvert in their friendship group, we're kicking you out.
Come on, you're not bringing anything, piss off.
Nobody's saying when we go out, because you're quieter and you only like to chat one-on-one and you're not really present in the big group, we're gonna leave you.
Yeah.
So you've got to sort of see WhatsApp groups. Now, it might be that the person that is extroverted in person, i.e. you, is more introverted in a chat.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And it might be Karen, who's really quiet on a night out, but loves being with people and seeing that they're doing, having fun together, likes kind of organising and saying, let's put another date in, when should we do this, is the more vocal, active one. So I just think, I don't think you should remove anyone.
No, that's what I think.
Unless there is something that happens that is inappropriate or out of order, or you're like, actually, that's not very nice, or you know, they leave themselves. I think you don't have friendship circles where is always the same.
No, exactly.
All the time.
Yeah.
And also, you never really know what's going on for people.
That was going to be my next point, is that...
That's the thing.
You know, you just don't know for somebody, you know, what's going on in their life, what else they're dealing with that they might not have shared with you or anyone else.
Exactly.
And actually having that point of like, okay, there is this chat going on and there's something being planned. I can kind of dip in and out of that as and when.
Yeah.
I think that has to be how friendship is. And I think that's the thing for me, is that I think sometimes put people at such a kind of a level of importance of...
Yeah.
Like, we're friends, we're doing this, this is the chat.
Exactly.
If you're not on it, we don't want to be friends with you anymore. And it's like, actually, let's just kind of relax. Let's just chill the fuck out. Like,
definitely.
You know, friendship should be about, like, we're friends regardless. And do you know what?
Exactly.
If at the moment, Angie, you can't respond on the chat for whatever reason, that's cool. We're going to plan to do some stuff. And if you want to come, that's fine. If you don't, you don't. And I think people just need to stop putting so much pressure on people to be constantly on it.
But also, don't you think there needs to be a sense of like, maybe messaging or group chats isn't your thing?
Yeah.
Maybe you prefer communicating in person. Maybe you prefer communicating over the phone. Like, it's okay if you're like, actually, I find the group chat thing
too
much, life sapping and... I find it a bit too tricky, and
I think also
I can't really. But in real life, you much prefer to be engaging, and I sort of think that's okay. If your preferred communication is that you want to be around people, but you don't want to contribute much to the group chat, that's fine.
I also think you've got to decide which chats, which friends, which groups you really want to be a part of, because I think that's the other thing. People set up WhatsApp groups, chuck you in it, and you're like, I don't want to be in this group.
What?
Why have they set this up? Why am I in this? So I think there has to be an element of you as an individual going, right, okay, I want to be in that and this, but actually I'm not too fussed about this one, and I am going to just kind of sit back and I'm not going to be that engaged with any of it. And I think that has to be a conscious decision on your part. And I think that's a little bit of where I have tried to start this year from, is like, what are the things that are important to me? Who are the people that are important to me? What groups do I really want to be engaged in and part of, and which do I not? And I think if you can kind of get to that point, you can generally manage it. So I think there has to be an onus on you to kind of decide what you want from your friendships.
Definitely. Okay, final one. This is the final one now.
Okay.
And then we're gonna wrap up. Hey girls, I love the podcast. I had a baby this year and I don't live near friends or family, so you've helped me with the loneliness, as it feels like I've been sitting down with friends every week. I just wanted to ask if you've both always been close or whether your relationship has changed over the years.
Oh, no, we've always been close.
Always.
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 I think we've might have had times during our lives where it's been a bit more distant. Like,
oh yeah, and we've always,
yeah, and I think that's like, just part of life and part of relationships and, yeah, and growing up. But I think right from, like, I think because of the gap between us, what is there, seven years, there has always been this like really strong bond that I have always felt for you. And I think it does stem from the fact that I was seven when you arrived into our family. Yeah. So I was so aware of you. I thought you were my baby. You know, I just kind
That's why you didn't play with dolls.
Because I had you. Yeah.
Because you had me.
I had a real life doll.
And... Exactly. Yeah.
So I think...
And I like to think I'm the reason you're such a wonderful mum.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. You can carry on thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just take the credit.
But I think there has never been a point in my life where I have ever felt like I wish you weren't around, or I wish you, I think that's the difference.
And do you know what? I think I've been so lucky with that, because I think I got in you. I think you're a naturally very maternal person anyway. Mm. And I think I got in you a sister that was like I remember you'd take me out with your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but you have always, I know for a fact, and this doesn't mean like our relationship's perfect or we don't piss each other off,
yeah,
or we haven't had blazing rows, because do you know what, guys, we have.
Yeah.
But I think there's always been a sense for me that you love having me around.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I've never felt like pushed out by you,
no,
or like, oh, go away, Ruth, yeah, you're so annoying, or like, I just want to sit with my friends, can you leave me alone?
Yeah.
I've never, ever, ever had that feeling. So I know that from a really, really young age, I was very accepted by you. And I think within that, it's created a space for me to think, no, I know that Ange has always got me. Like, whatever's going on or whatever's happening in my life, I know that she's always going to love me, always going to accept me, always going to be there for me. Because I think from such a young age, I was just like, I don't know. And I think that, you know, there are times where, growing up, stuff goes on in your family, doesn't it? Nobody has, we had a wonderful childhood.
Yeah.
But nobody has a perfect
childhood. No, exactly.
And I was really, really fortunate in you that I had, yeah, somebody that just like had me. If stuff was, you know, our dad went to war for 9 months. Mm. That in itself is a really like massive thing to go through. Mm. And I wasn't particularly old. I must have been like 9 or 10, I think.
Yeah.
And you were very much like, obviously, you cared for me. Mm. Like, you nurtured me as much as mum did. Mm. You know, James didn't. But having said that, as much as James didn't, he did. Mm. I found this video. This was going back like a couple of years ago, but it was of us in Spain on holiday. So this was like before you were with Ian.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the three of us, the way that we... like we're connected to each other as siblings, like watching that now as an adult, I'm like, oh my god, the input these other two people had into my life is absolutely remarkable. Because we were just always together.
Yeah.
In this like Spain holiday video, there wasn't a single moment where the three of us weren't making up a game,
dicking
around in the pool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like we, you know, there were times where I was in the pool on my own because you wanted to sunbathe or whatever. But on the whole, throughout this whole like Spain video, it was like us three against the world. Mm. We were thick as thieves, cracking each other up, making each other laugh, like just doing really stupid, random shit with each other. And the like level of connection and acceptance that we had as a sibling group, I do think that is quite unusual.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Because there wasn't any like, yeah, you know, we took the piss out of each other, and you and James, you know, classic, like, I'm the youngest, you were both trying to dunk me. But I was finding it really funny. Like, we were just having so much fun.
Yeah.
And
And I think
I was really struck by how, you know, if somebody says to me, you're close to your siblings, I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm really fortunate. But watching that video really struck me about just how close we were and how close we've been pretty much our whole lives.
All the way through. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite unusual in a three.
Yeah.
I think there's always, and I think there have been points in our sibling relationship where there has been like one of us has felt a little bit left out or a little bit on the edge of it. And I think that's quite natural. I think, you know, sometimes there are times when, you know, you and James have been closer and I've been a bit more on the edge and then James. Yeah. And I think that's just how it is in a three.
Absolutely.
But I think on the whole, for us to have had the relationship we had in our younger years and for it to still be like that now, it's just, I think it just shows the depth of the love we have for each other.
Definitely. And that's what comes through in this video. Mm. Yeah, in answer to your question, that was an anonymous, so I don't know who sent it, but I would say Andrew and I especially have always been
very, very
incredibly close.
Yeah.
But all three of us actually
have a very special,
really fortunate
bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Anyway, bit of a different episode.
Yeah,
this
that
week.
Was not. I quite liked that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, nice. I enjoyed it. Anyway, look, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find Ange and I on Instagram. I'm at Ruth_Corden. She's at Ange Corden.
You can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
Or you can send us an email, findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. But Ange and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny. Do-wah.